Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Splendor of the Sahaba, the show where you learn more about the Sahaba, get inspired by their stories, and inshallah, have an increase in faith and love for them. I'm Ustaz Muhammad Luqman Hakim bin Ruslan. In today's episode, we'll be talking about who are the Sahaba, why are they important to us, and why are they special in the eyes of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first up, who are the Sahaba? Are they just people like us, ordinary? Or is there something more about them that we should know? So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, a great scholar, mentioned that the Sahaba, they are people that have met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they believed in him, and they passed away as a believer. Therefore, there are three things that we should take note of for a Sahaba. First is that they met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second is that they believe in him, meaning that they were Muslims. And third, that when they pass away, they were still Muslims. Therefore, it does not matter actually if a person met the Prophet for just a short moment or for a very long time. But the fact that he met the Prophet means that he was a Sahaba or he is a Sahaba. And it's noteworthy also that the person, if he were to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then he were to pass away in a state that is not a Muslim, not a state of Islam. Therefore, the person is not the Sahaba. The Sahaba needs to pass away in a state of being a Muslim. What if the person is a woman then? Does the person also become a Sahaba? The answer is yes. The person, if let's say a woman were to meet the Prophet ﷺ and were to believe in the Prophet ﷺ, meaning the person is a Muslimah, the person then dies or pass away as a Muslimah, she's also a Sahaba, or as the term goes, Sahabiyah. All this talk about the Sahaba, and sometimes people start to question, why are the Sahaba so important? The answers are plenty actually, but one of the most important and one of the most defining answer would be that the Sahaba are very important to us Muslims because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned them in multiple hadith. One particular ayah that stands out in the Quran, Allah SWT mentioned, "Ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," in Surah Tawbah, "Was-sabiquna al-awwalun minal muhajirin wal ansar wal ladhina ittaba'uuhum bi ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu wa a'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahtaha al-anhar khalidina fiha abada dhalikal fawzul 'azim." Which means, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, the people who have come before us. And these people are from the Muhajirin, the people who migrated from Mecca to Medina, also including the Ansar, the people who were already in Medina. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and the people that followed them in goodness. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this, أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, Allah had actually prepared gardens, paradise, in which flows within them rivers. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, and the Sahaba, they stay there forever and ever. And that is indeed, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is indeed the ultimate triumph. So we see that the Sahaba was mentioned in the Quran, and Allah gave them a special title, in which Allah said that Allah is pleased with them. They are the pleased. And we know that a person to enter paradise, the person does not actually enter paradise with his or her deeds alone. So for us, normal human beings, if we want to enter paradise and we try to vouch with our deeds, that is actually not enough. We would need to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba, they have been acknowledged with this pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Therefore, they have secured a place in paradise. As for a hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, as narrated by Imam Bukhari and also Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ يَجِئُ قَوْمٌ تَسْبِقُ شَهَادَةَ أَحَدِهِمْ يَمِينَهُ وَيَمِينُهُ شَهَادَتَهُ. Which means, narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the best of men are my generation, then those who come next to them, then those who come next to them, which means those who come after them and after them, generation after generation. Afterwards, people will come who will give testimony before swearing an oath and swear an oath before giving testimony. So there are two parts to this hadith. The first is that the Prophet ﷺ acknowledges that the best generation was his generation or is his generation. And this generation, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, this generation is where the Sahaba live with him. Then the best generation is also the generation that comes after the generation of the Prophet ﷺ, which we all know is the generation of the Sahaba. And then comes the generation after the Sahaba, which is Tabi'in and so on and so forth. The second part of the hadith, in which it is mentioned that people will come and give testimony, shahada, and they will swear without knowing one from the other. The people who come after the generation of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in and so on and so forth, they tend to decrease in terms of their trustworthiness. And then comes our generation nowadays. So we see that in our world nowadays, to compare it with the world of the Sahaba back then, it's like comparing the earth and also the sky. The trustworthiness of the Sahaba and our kind of trustworthiness are two things that are so stuck in their differences. So mashallah, we see that now it is important for us to know the Sahaba because they are mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ and also mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were also the pillars of Islam. They went through thick and thin with the Prophet ﷺ. Without the Sahaba supporting Islam and supporting the Prophet ﷺ, we do not know actually what would become of our position today. We do not know actually if Islam would be how it is today. But of course, if Allah wills it to be, it will be. Some virtues of the Sahaba can be found in their history and also narrations of them. One particular virtue that we do not have in this current day is that the Sahaba had the Prophet ﷺ as their teacher. Subhanallah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who molded the Sahaba, was the one who imparted with them the message of iman, the message of faith, and the one who nurtured them with taqwa, to have resilience in their faith and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to protect themselves from the hellfire. They got the first-hand experience that none of us have pertaining to the Quran. In which the Prophet ﷺ, when he was revealed the Quran, he would then share it with the Sahaba. He would teach them the meaning of the verses of the Quran. He would also teach them the exegesis, the tafsir of these meanings, so that the Sahaba understood the Quran like how the Prophet ﷺ understood the Quran. And how the Prophet ﷺ understood the Quran was taught to him by Jibril ﷺ. And that would be the ultimate way, the truth, that we should know about the Quran. One particular virtue that we can observe from the Sahaba actually comes from a warning by the Prophet ﷺ, in which he mentioned the hadith, لَا تَسُبُّ أَصْحَابِي فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحْدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا أَدْرَكَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ. Which means, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, do not abuse my companion, do not condemn them, do not curse them, do not revile them. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, he swore upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which by the one, my soul is in his hands. لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحْدٍ ذَهَبًا, if any one of you were to donate, were to give away, were to spend a mountain of gold, and the mountain is the size of the mountain of Uhud, and that is not actually a very small size, it's a very big size. If you went to the mountain of Uhud, you would probably see that it stretches for hundreds of meters. And if a person were to donate, were to give away this mountain of gold, it would not actually stand to what the Sahaba were to give, even if it is a handful of gold. Let me explain. The Sahaba, if they were to give away a handful of gold, for example, if they were to donate a handful of gold, and you were to compare it with your own donations, your own giveaway, and you tend to give away a big mountain of gold, it would not compare to one another, because when the Sahaba, they give what they give it with sincerity, they give it with iman. Of course, we do so with iman. Of course, we do so with sincerity, but it does not compare to what the Sahaba has in their hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is their elevated position when compared to the common man. There was also a time when the Prophet ﷺ gave a sermon in which the sermon sparked fear in the hearts of the Sahaba. The sermon sparked the feeling of taqwa in the hearts of Sahaba. And the sermon made them cry. And after the sermon, the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, "O Messenger of Allah, is this a farewell sermon? And give us a wasiyah." So give us a wasiyah, give us an advice, a parting advice, for example. Because the sermon was so touching to their hearts that they felt that it was the end between them and the Prophet ﷺ. Therefore, the Prophet then said, "I give you advice, I counsel you to have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to listen or to obey your leader." In which in the particular same hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ then mentions that one should hold on to the sunnah. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. That a person should hold on to the sunnah, and not just the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but also the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. So in this hadith, we see that the Prophet ﷺ ordered, or rather imparted to the Sahaba, to hold on to the sunnah. Of course, that is not enough. So the Prophet ﷺ added that a person should also hold on to the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Who are the Khulafa al-Rashidin? They are the Khalifa, the Caliph that came after the Prophet ﷺ, and he knew, even though the time had not come yet. So they were Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, they were Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anh, and also Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anh. These were the four Khalifas, and they were also companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was so important that a person who held on to the sunnah and held on to what these companions practiced, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a comparison that one should bite on it. Metaphorically, of course, that one should bite on it and not to let it go away no matter what. Therefore, by hearing all of these virtues, one might ask, what then can I do when it comes to the Sahaba? Actually, a simple practice that we can do is whenever we hear a companion's name, a Sahaba's name, for example, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, we say, radiyallahu an, which means, may Allah have mercy on that particular Sahaba. Why do we do this? It is because Allah SWT himself mentioned this in the ayah that we read earlier on. And also there was another mention in Surah Al-Fath, ayah 18, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا. Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they pledge allegiance to you, O Prophet, under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts, so he sent down serenity upon them and rewarded them with a victory at hand. So we see now how important the Sahaba is to us and how they are special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To end, let me mention an incident that occurred during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was visiting some graves with the companions. The Prophet mentioned then that he would like to see his brothers, in which the companions asked, "Are we not your brothers, O Rasulullah?" The Prophet then replied, "You are my Sahaba, antum ashabi, wa ikhwanana alladhi lam ya'tu ba'd, and our brothers are the ones that have not come yet." The Prophet ﷺ was actually referring to us, his ummah, the people who come after the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And for a person to actually meet the Prophet ﷺ, for a person to actually be with him in paradise, and for a person to be with the Prophet ﷺ, to earn this title, a brother, in which the Prophet ﷺ would like to meet, the person must be of a particular level, the person must be of a particular standing. And to compare with the Sahaba, we have not reached that level yet, but one could try, inshallah. We could always try to be better people. We could always try to emulate the sunnah more. We could always try to do more worship, to do more ibadah, so that we can get the title of a brother, in which the Prophet ﷺ would like to meet, would like to see, and for us to be with him, the Prophet ﷺ, in paradise. And one of the ways is actually to emulate the sunnah, in which is represented by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Let us end with this ayah in Surah Fath, ayah number 29. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are strong against the disbelievers, but compassionate amongst each other. You will see them bow and prostrate themselves in prayer, seeking grace from Allah and His good pleasure. On their faces are their marks, being the traces of their prostration, athar sujud. This is a brief description of how the Sahabas are, how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were. And with this short description, I guess we could strive to be more like them, could strive more to prostrate in prayer, to bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to, if not physically get the mark of sujood, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes that we do plenty of sujood when none are around us, when people do not see us. Therefore, let us be more like the Sahaba, and let us try to achieve the splendor of the Sahaba. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.